B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Now on the line with us, joining us, who can identify also with coaching his own kids, Mark Jackson from NBC Sports Philadelphia, former Sixer, played against Kobe. Mark, first off, thank you very much for coming on with us. I know yesterday was a really rough day for you, man.
Yeah, it was. It was a tough day.
Now,
is also a reminder, man, how short life is.
Absolutely. I know that you took part in an extra hug with some loved ones as well yesterday. I know you told the story yesterday, and you were coaching your son when you found out about Kobe?
Yes, I was coaching my Team Jacko 12-year-old team in a tournament in Neptune, New Jersey. At that time, I'm coaching in the middle of the beginning of the first half, and a lady at the scores table before that, my phone is ringing off the hook in my pocket on vibrating. It's just ringing. And I'm just ignoring, but as it continued to persist for minutes on end, it's a steady ringing. I'm like, well, who is this? And I look at my phone, it's a lot of 310 area codes, a lot of 702 area codes. And I'm like, well, what? But a lot of them is numbers I don't recognize. But then it kept, because I put it in my pocket, ignored it. But then it kept going on. And then I kept looking at a friend of mine named Rick Brunson, who we all know, Rick Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
I called him like six, 7 times. I'm like, what? How Rick calling me like that? So the first thing I thought is those phone calls. And now Rick's calling me. I'm thinking something's up with Coach Chaney. So I answer in the middle of the game, like, what's up, Rick? He's like, everything okay? He's like, well, what you doing? I said, I'm coaching my 12-year-old team. He said, now? I said, yes. He said, do me a favor. He said, he cracked the joke. He said, man, you ain't supposed to answer your phone. And I said, yeah, but it kept ringing. He's like, do me a favor, man, turn off your phone. He said, don't hang it up, turn it off, and coach those kids and call me as soon as the game over. I'm like, all right. I said, anything okay? He's like, yeah, just turn off your phone, focus on the kids, and call me the game over. And I said, anything okay with coach? He's like, yeah, anything cool, coach. So I hung up my phone, and I'm back coaching. And then about 30 seconds later, the lady at the scores table said, oh my God, Kobe was just killed in a helicopter crash. And it kind of went over my head, and I looked at her, I didn't think none of it. So I just continued to coach. And about maybe 10, 15 seconds later, I mean, I just lied to this. I said, no. And I screamed, no. And I looked at her, I said, what did you say? And I said it kind of aggressive.
Right.
Not towards her, but like, what did you say?
Right.
She's like, Kobe Bryant just down in a helicopter. I said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And she stood up and came to me and showed me her phone. And she showed me a form I'm reading. And then I had to sit down, and the assistant coach took over the game, and I just sat at the end of the bench, and he's like, do you want to go outside? I'm like, no, let me sit here. And it's just, I was over, and you know, so I was just overrun with emotion. And then at that point, I start picking up my phone, trying to call Joe and Pam, his mom and dad, and trying to see if it's true, and they're not answering. Then I call Sheree and Shea, his sisters, they're not answering. Then I call Mike, my best friend Mike, who I introduced to Shay, and they're married now. They're married for 10 years now, and I'm interested in calling him. He's not answering, so then I'm calling my wife, so they turn on news. I just heard something, tell me, it was a fake news. And my wife's a realtor, and she was out showing house. She said, why? I said, it's important. She's on CNN. She said, she told me, and I said, all right, I'll call you back. So then as I'm saying that, Mike calls me, and Mike is hysterical. He's calling me. I'm like, is it true? He's like, yes, it's true. And I'm like, who was with him? And he said, his daughter, it's his sister. And at that point, man, I did motions, and I just happened to look up. And on that side of the court, my son was in front of me playing, and the game was 12 years old. And then Mike was telling me where he was going and what was going on. And there was other people with him, but nobody else from his family was there. And I just, it just hit so hard, man. It just hit so hard. And then as the game continued, I could eventually compose myself, continue coaching the game. But as the game continued, it hit me because he was on his way to coach his daughter. Mm-hmm. He was on the way to coach his daughter, who's about 6 months older than my son. And I knew how important this stage of his life was to giving back to not just his daughter, but giving back to everybody or anybody who wanted to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And this is hard. This is hard.
Mark, we're speaking with Mark Jackson. And Mark, I just can't thank you enough for coming on with us today, especially after this news yesterday. I want to fast forward real quick because I do want to talk to you about when you first met Kobe, but you played him against him in the NBA enough times, and the common theme we've been hearing about Kobe Bryant, the player, was just competitor. When you talk about an ultimate competitor, you're talking about Kobe Bryant. What are your takeaways from being able to match up against a guy like that?
Well, you know, I've seen Kobe's transformation from 12 years old up to what he became. And he always is a different animal. He always a different guy. And he wanted to be great. He wanted to be great. And he always put the time in alone without anyone telling him to, so he could be great. So I knew what he was on the court. I knew how determined he was. And it was interesting to me when I hear people complain, oh, Kobe's a little too much, he's a little over the top. I'm like, no, he's just a champion. And he's been like that since he was 12 years old, since I first met him. And so I understood where he was at and what he was doing. And just to watch him continue that has just been remarkable.
Have you been able to get in touch at any point with anybody in the family?
Yes. I spoke to sisters and mom. And Joe, man, and it's hard right now.
Now Joe comes back, so we'll go back to the middle of this. Joe comes back from Italy with the family. Kobe's what, 11 or 12 years old, and all of a sudden you find yourself on the basketball court with a 11 or 12 year old Kobe Bryant when you're 14 or 15.
Yes. So when he came back, his father. I came back, and the next day they got off the plane. His dad was in the gym with us, with John Harnett. And it was on the phone and with it was in the gym with John Harnett, and he was one of my first coaches when I started getting into basketball. And we was teammates that were working out together ever since then. And it's just, that's when I first met him, and that's when we formed that bond. We used to work out together, train together, and I tell the story about when I first met him at 12. We were finished working out, and he would ice his knees. he would ice his knees, and he was 12. And I was like, that was a joke for me, get out of here. He's like, I said, why? And he said, because I want to have a long career. And he was 12. He wasn't 17, 18. He was 12. And that stuck with me. When my children became, as my own personal children became, higher level basketball players around that same age, it was the same with me. I was iced their knees. So we'd be at tournaments. As soon as their last game over, I'm putting ice in their knees. And people laughing, like, man, them kids too young for that. And they're like, oh, my friends laughing. I'm like, let them laugh. We laughed at Kobe too. And look how long he played. And so it's just, you know, he's left a lasting impression, not just on me, but on the world.
The thing is, when he went into Lower Merion and that legend started to grow, did you know really? I mean, at 12 years old, he's icing his knees, so you knew the guy was taking it serious. Then he goes to Lower Merion, and the legend really, really starts to grow. When did you know he was going to get into the NBA and really become one of the greatest?
I had started having that feeling when he was about 14, 15, he was going into Lower Merion. He was going into Lower Merion, and his summer of his ninth grade year. And a good friend of mine named Tony Jones, who writes for The Athletic, wrote a story today talking about when he first seen me and Kobe working out together, and Kobe was 14. And Kobe and I was practicing dunking on each other. And that's when I knew that summer, before he went to Lower Merion, I knew he was going to be something special. That, be honest, I knew he was going to be what he became. I didn't know about all that. But I knew he was going to be something special just because his determination to be great. And I felt as though he had the key things you need a lot of times to be successful in basketball. He not just had the drive. A lot of people have the drive, but he had the work ethic along that drive, and he also had genetics. He had a lot of his father's size. His mom was a competitive too, Pam. So he had a lot of that in him. So he had everything he needed to be successful, and he was just determined.
Mark, back in the day when he made that announcement, I'll never forget, he made it at Lower Merion, had the sunglasses on top of his head, and everybody's wondering, are you going pro? Is he going to Duke? What's he doing? And he says pro. I'm going pro. What were your thoughts back then, knowing him the way you did, knowing the NBA the way it was? Did you think he was ready? Did you think it was a smart decision at that time?
Well, it was the same thing. So once again, the life works in cycles, which means it was a cycle when he was 12, when he wasn't ready to play up or train with me and other guys at that age, but he got his teeth kicked in. And he really thrived on getting his teeth kicked in by older guys and stronger guys, understanding that he knew the outcome. Once he took that beating, he knew he would come back stronger and better. So the same thing when he made his announcement. So that whole after his high school career at Lower Merion, during that process through the season, though he's in the gym with us after, you know, training and stuff and working out, and then people asking like, what you gonna do? And he kept quiet. Well, I don't know. I'm probably going to college. I don't know this, that. But as being in the gym, I knew what he was gonna do. He had to look, and I'm looking at him like, come on, man. You know, he's like, yeah, but don't tell nobody. So, you know what I mean? Like, I knew what he was going to do. So at that moment, I knew he was going to thrive because I knew he was going to thrive in a situation where he knew at first it was going to be a challenge. He knew at first he was going to get his teeth kicked in, but he knew the outcome of that. He enjoyed the competitive nature of getting beat up, of getting pummeled and not having things go his way. Because he knew at the end of that, once he come up on the other side, he'd be much better for it.
What would you make of the conversation, Mark, that was had during Kobe's playing career that he wasn't Philly?
Well, but I know Philly. Anybody from Philly knows Philly. You know, we have some hateration in us. You know what I mean? So because he went to Lower Merion, he didn't go to a Philadelphia public school. He said, "Oh, he ain't Philly. He went to Lower Merion." Yeah, okay. So we knew that's how people thought. He knew that. That didn't bother him. It just fueled more fire in him because he knew like who he was and what he was going to do. So he didn't care what people said, but that's how it works. That's how Philly works. Like me going to Roman Catholic. Oh, he ain't from Philly. He went to a Catholic school. Come on, man. Out of there with all that crap. that's what people do. And he didn't mind that. It was just more fuel for him.
It doesn't get any more Philly than Roman Catholic, Mark.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, but some people say it ain't Philadelphia public school, so it ain't Philly. But you know how people are. They find to pick and choose.
Yeah. Mark, I, again, man, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I know yesterday had to be extremely difficult for you and your close friends, really, with the Bryant family. And just thanks again, man. I really appreciate it.
No problem, fellas.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.